We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another week. The Pelicans have lost five straight, but before we get into the Pelicans, Mason, last week we kind of talked about some movies, or was it the week before that? I can't remember. It's all a blur. I wanted to get your thoughts. What are you? Are you a horror film guy?
Not. So I'm not anti-horror movies, but I'm not. I don't really actively seek them out, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay, fair enough. I am anti-horror movies. Don't like the idea of being scared. I don't like jump scares. I don't like being stressed for 2 hours straight. It's just not something I get enjoyment from. But, you know, someone recommends me a good horror movie, I'll watch it. Like, I've seen a lot of the Hitchcock classics. I've seen, obviously, one of the more recent ones, Get Out, I saw, which was a really well-done movie. And, you know, a movie that didn't rely on jump scares, so to speak. So I'll watch a good horror film, and someone recommended I watch the movie Bird Box on Netflix. Have you heard anything about this movie?
I watched the preview, and I heard that it was a meh movie, and there's a good lead actor though, I think, right?
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it, but I haven't, you know. Again, I haven't really gone out of my way to watch it, but is that a true horror film? I've heard conflicting reports on that.
Okay, so it's not probably like a true horror film. It's more of a thriller, I would say, more of a suspense and thriller. But to me, like, that's close enough, man. I tell you, I hate scary movies, so that's about as close as I'll get to voluntarily watching a horror movie. But I watched it. I watched it, I think, the night before Christmas. And
that's a great movie, by the way, if we're talking about movies.
Yes,
the night before.
I will endorse that. But, you know, I watched it, and it was a movie that was stressful for 2 hours, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was, like, if I think back after I watched the movie, I can pick it apart in a million ways, like, in terms of flaws and bad writing and other stuff. But while the movie in and of itself was going on, it succeeded in allowing me to suspend my disbelief and, you know, kind of watch it in the stressed out state that I was in. So, nice. You know, if you ever get bored, something to look, or funny. Something to watch.
Yeah, I'm not much of a horror movie person, but I have, and this is probably more embarrassing than anything else to mention, but I have seen all the Saw movies. I have not seen the recent one, it's called Jigsaw, I think. I have not seen that one, but I think it's on Amazon Prime or Netflix or something, but I've seen all the other ones, and they're wide ranging in quality. Cause I think they were made by different groups of people. I think they may have sold the rights after a couple of them, and then they kind of went downhill real fast. But apart from that, I haven't really seen much else in the horror movie department.
I saw It the Clown, but I watched it during the day with all the lights on. And I was still jumping, and I would look away during all the crazy scenes. So, yeah.
I feel like this is going to be one of your better segues into, you know what else is scary?
You know what else is scary? You know what else is horrible in a horror right now? The Pelicans in the clutch and the Pelicans record. No, dang, now I can't even do one of my segues. Gosh. Yeah, you know what else is spooky? All this AD talk. Is AD going to leave us? I don't know. No, but for real, like the talk of the town, the talk of the basketball world over the last couple of weeks has just been Anthony Davis. He's the single biggest story right now, and not in a good way, because everyone is just waiting and watching to see if he's going to ask out. And it didn't help that the Pelicans played the Lakers last week, and they played them on ESPN. And you had, you know, even leading up to the game, you had reporters asking LeBron, and that's where we got the Tampergate thing. You had reporters asking AD, and then after the game, you know, there were reports of AD getting dinner with LeBron, and then there was someone that interviewed him, and then there's all these talking heads on television. Stephen A. Smith saying, get out of there. Kevin Garnett is saying, get out of there. Shannon Sharp is talking. Shane Sharp assumes that AD's already out of there, and he's talking about what the Lakers need to trade. You know, it's a nonstop barrage from basically all media fronts to get AD out of here, and, you know, just, and not even just out of here, but like specifically to the Lakers. What have your thoughts been throughout this whole process?
It's obviously frustrating. And there are many different ways that you can kind of attack this longstanding narrative. I mean, it's got legs. The team has not been good. There is reason to start that discussion, especially when the Pelicans can offer him that the designated veterans extension next summer. And if he doesn't take it, that's pretty much a sign that says, hey, he's out. That said, the Pelicans and AD are saying all the right things. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the hilarious Deadspin article that came out today that is titled, and I quote, ESPN has created another phony news cycle out of its own fart. And I think the article itself on Deadspin is kind of bogus. It's got kernels of truth, though. It's basically saying that, hey, the Pelicans haven't once said they're thinking about trading him. Anthony Davis hasn't once said he wants to leave. So what are we talking about? The trade deadline is still 2 months away. And I get that, but I'm sure a bunch of Pelicans fans are thrilled to see something like that come out with everything that's come out on the other side of the fence over the past week or two. But it's a huge story. It's the one of the best five players in basketball in the prime of his career.
You can argue he hasn't reached his prime yet.
Yeah, and so his next contract would be his prime contract, and why every team should be like drooling at the thought of having Anthony Davis on their team. And so I get it. And it's frustrating for people. It's worn on people. The toughest part for me hasn't been my own personal reactions to the story. It's been seeing what it's done to the fan base. And for all the takes that are out there that I think, you know, you and I may disagree with, even the those who think this is maybe too much on AD and think it's, you know, he should be a leader. This team should be winning because of him, and they're not. So it's his fault. I know that's too black and white, but there are some takes out there that put too much of the blame on Anthony Davis. And we've talked about that on prior podcasts, but even so, I feel bad for the people who are truly diehard fans of this team, and you can say what you want about a small market and how, you know, there aren't that many of those people. I don't care. It just sucks to see people so drained by this relentless, as you said, barrage of news, or not even news, but articles by anyone who wants to talk about where AD should go next and where his career is destined to go to for the best chance of success and what have you. So that's really what's been bugging me the most.
Drained is the perfect way to put it, because I've had several of my longtime friends who are also diehard Pelicans fans just like text me and be like, hey, I'm just so done with this season. I'm done. And they're like broken. They're like, I don't even want to be a fan of basketball anymore. And that's depressing. Mm-hmm. You know, and part of it's just the Pelicans being bad and losing game after game and close game and just not being fun at the moment. And part of it is this mess that people want to like get it over with, to the point where people are like, just, you know what, trade AD. I don't want to deal with this ever again. And, you know, while I don't agree with those takes, I definitely feel where they're coming from. Like, they've invested hours of their time into the fan base. I mean, into the Pelicans, being supporters of them. And at this point, they're just tired. So I feel that,
yeah,
and I hear that, yeah. But
yep.
No. I was going to change the topic, but if you had, you know, one last point.
So the last point on that is that I think it's also doing a disservice for us to just put it all at the feet of these media outlets, because there's a reason this conversation is happening, and it's because the Pelicans haven't been able to put the team around AD that many expected them to be able to do. I mean, and I'm not looking to blame it with one person or one part of the organization specifically, but it starts at the top. It goes all the way down to the rest of the organization, that this team has had chances to put a winner around Anthony Davis. And I mean, you can blame a ton of different things. You can even blame the injury luck. I mean, if you really want to cop out and not put it on any specific person, I mean, the Pelicans have had really crappy injury luck. But there's fault to be had all over the place. And so while it's been frustrating and it's been a lot and too much, in I think most people's opinions about, you know, what the whole trade market for Anthony Davis, there's a reason this is coming about, and the Pelicans are in no small part to blame for this mess.
So you wouldn't say that ESPN created this out of their own fart?
As impressive and strong as that headline is, I can't bring myself to say that.
But would you say ESPN has most definitely added fuel to the fire?
Oh, without question. And
they're seeking to capitalize off of this.
Sure. I mean, they absolutely have something to gain from all this. And I mean, but that doesn't mean that they're 100% wrong by doing some of this. I think,
yeah, I mean, it's the business. Yeah. They're trying to be a business. I get that. But, yeah, you know, if you do look at it, you know, for you conspiracy theorists out there, put them tinfoil hats on. It was an ESPN reporter that originally asked LeBron what he thought about AD playing with him. And then it was Windhorse who later wrote another article. And then Woj wrote an article after the Pelicans didn't really release a statement, but Woj wrote an article about all the other small market teams that are upset about this, who is also another ESPN guy. And then Zach Lowe wrote an article this morning about the Pelicans in AD's history, and which, by the way, was a really good and accurate representation of what has happened. Right. And, you know, there was the game on TV before all that was happening. So it's like ESPN, 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 and like these outlets have just been hammering it. Like, I haven't seen Shams tweet anything about it.
Yeah, and more on top of that, I was pointed out to me this morning that Lowe did something in his article today that is not often seen on ESPN, and that's he linked to other websites stuff about Anthony Davis that was written by, maybe it was Haynes, but it was at least one other publication.
Yahoo?
Maybe The Athletic. I don't know if it's Athletic too, but that's not something that ESPN does much. And I almost wonder, now you're forcing me to put any sort of conspiracy theorist hat on. I almost wonder if he did it to kind of push or if, I don't know if Lowe or ESPN or whoever, but I almost wonder if it was done to say, hey, this isn't just us, guys. It's not only ESPN pushing this. Everyone's talking about it. And so
I don't think they would care about that. I think they want ESPN to be the only one talking about it because then they get all the clicks and they are the center of discussion.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't think that's something that really happens often on ESPN is linking to other. They can cite people, but I don't often see the links to other websites. So that was just interesting to me.
One day, maybe Zach Lowe will link to us. Some of our great segues that we have on this podcast. Okay, so now that we've kind of talked about what the media has created regarding AD leaving, let's talk about the actual possibility of AD leaving. First of all, do you think, I don't want to put you on the spot and be like, do you think he's going to sign the extension? But I will ask you, how comfortable do you feel about him signing that extension
today? Oh, not comfortable. And I don't, to be perfectly honest, I don't see at this point how anyone could be comfortable. I think it's probably the wrong word to use. I mean, you could say that you still feel like there's a decent chance he does it. I think that's a fair assessment based on what you think are the most important factors to him. But I don't think anyone can reasonably feel comfortable about Anthony Davis signing that extension at this point in time. I don't know if you feel differently.
No, I mean, that's fair. I don't think you can either. But if you don't feel like he's comfortable, let's fast forward to this summer. Let's operate in the worst case scenario situation that he just asks for a trade. Let's scale it back from worst case scenario. But like what I'm trying to say is, let's say he asks for a trade this summer. He gives you a list of teams that, he's okay going to, and, you work out a trade. Do you think that's going to impact the franchise from a business standpoint long term, and B, if this is bad on the fan base right now, what is it going to be like in the future when we don't have a top five player and we don't have that hope and potentially are a perennial lottery team without that hope?
Yeah, and this is kind of the great unknown to me. It's a great question. And first of all, that's what you just described is most certainly not worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is AD saying trade me to the Lakers now.
Yeah, that's why I walked it back a little bit.
Yeah, or even saying trade me to team X next summer. So, by giving a list, at least you have some negotiating leverage. And that's not to say they can't pull what the Spurs did with Kawhi and trade him to wherever. But yeah, it's a great question because this is a topic I've kind of I brought up the other day and got some interesting responses all over the place too. And since the team moved to New Orleans in 2002, they have, for the vast majority of their existence, they had either Chris Paul or Anthony Davis on this roster. And those are Chris Paul, top 10 player. I don't think that was really debatable.
Yeah, I mean, he was second in MVP.
Yeah, he arguably should have won MVP in Kobe Bryant's legacy year, which I guess I can't comment on too much at this point because I think that's what a lot of people are hoping for Drew Brees. But so either Chris Paul and then they trade Chris Paul and then next summer you win the lottery and get Anthony Davis. I mean, this team has had incredible luck when it comes to the draft lottery and just in their top five picks hitting home runs. And I feel like there's this opinion out there that, maybe that's not the way to build a sustainable roster, having a top five transcendent player. Maybe you just need to be in the lottery for a few years and get a bunch of good players that want to stick together, play together, rah, rah. And it's just like, and guys that play give 110% every night, even if it's a bad team, things are going to be great because they try hard. And it's just, it's a lot. I mean, that's wishful thinking on a number of fronts. And I just don't know what to expect from the fan base, or if, you know, if this team doesn't have a transcendent talent that's growing, or, you know, a transcendent draft choice that has the potential to grow into a top five or top 10 player in this league. It's just, it's a tough sell. And I understand diehard fans. Hey, you know what? Maybe this is a fine pathway for you. Maybe you don't need an Anthony Davis or a Chris Paul to really support the franchise, but you're not the bulk of the fan base. You're not the fans in New Orleans who have to show up to games every night. And that, it worries me. It does. And I'm not trying to say that I think the team's leaving New Orleans. I'm not, if Anthony Davis leaves, that's not what I'm saying.
But okay, because I wanted to get on that. I'm like, there, I've seen some takes out there, mostly from non-New Orleanians, that suggest that if you trade Davis, if he goes, then the Pelicans are going to be on the verge of folding or relocating because they're not going to be able to sustain themselves. And
look, just name names, Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons would love nothing more than the Pelicans to just be abolished and go to wherever, anywhere else. But do you think there's any hint of truth in that? Do you think Gail Benson would just be like, you know what, I'm going to cash out on this tremendous investment that I've profited from immensely?
It's always possible. I mean, I think it would be foolish to say it's definitely not going to happen. Gail Benson loves New Orleans. I think that's true. I mean, the reports were, correct me if I'm wrong, that she was one who convinced Tom Benson to buy the team in the first place. And so there is a reasonable case to be made that she's ride or die with this team in New Orleans. I mean, I don't think that money is a concern either way for her at this point. So it just comes down to what kind of offers are on the table for her and how much does she really think that it's worth to keep the team here. And so it's not a concern for me in the short term. 10 years down the line, 12 years down the line, it's always something that has to be in the back of your mind. If the team, like I said, if you don't have an Anthony Davis or Chris Paul type player and you turn into a version of the Sacramento Kings or Phoenix Suns where you lose for a decade straight, that's a death sentence in my opinion. But it's just way too early to speculate on something like that right now, and I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I think the team's making money right now, and the team will make money if Anthony Davis is traded, just because of the way the NBA is structured, and just because of the TV deals and all of that. They don't make the meat of their money selling tickets. And I think, you know, when we did a podcast earlier, and we had your friend on, I think it was kind of explained to that. I mean, you could do the math behind it, and it still doesn't add up to like the billions of dollars in revenue that the NBA gets from their cable deal and how that's distributed because of the CBA amongst teams. And then, you know, New Orleans also gets is a benefit of the revenue sharing as well. So teams making money. I think it's going to continue to make money. So in terms of just financially, like, it's just not a bad investment for Gail. And I think she has a better timeline than Tom did when he acquired the team. Mm-hmm. I think she can afford to be a little bit more patient. You know, I think when Tom acquired the team, part of the whole like win now thing is like, well, how long is he going to be around? And I don't want to make light of that fact, but I think that was definitely a factor.
Yeah.
And I think Gail is a little bit more patient. I think she's a little bit more involved. And I think she's definitely like, at least in terms of like having public appearances regarding the Pels, I think she's been more vocal publicly. I mean, she went all the way up to Birmingham to announce the G League team that they're signing.
Right.
So yeah. You're right. I don't share those concerns. I don't think they're going to be of fruition anytime soon. But given all those things, do you like? I think I see a light at the end of the tunnel. If we had a trade AD, I don't think it's all doom and gloom.
Yeah,
and I think there's certain steps that they can take now to prepare for that.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's doom and gloom. I just think that I think that some of the fan base or a portion of the fan base is making this out to be not as bad as it is. And I hear you that it's not like the franchise isn't going to fold if they trade Anthony Davis. And there are reasonable paths to turning this around. Number one being the fact that a player like Anthony Davis, as Lowe mentioned this in his column, it's an unprecedented talent level player being traded. And the return for that and the bidding war for that should be gigantic. And so if whatever you get in return should be enough to jumpstart the next era. And so that is a totally reasonable counterpoint. I just think that it's going to be tough. The next few years are going to be tough. That's all I'm saying.
I don't disagree. I think they will be tough, but hear me out. So first of all, I think I was talking about this on Twitter. I think we've talked about this on the pod before. First of all, I think the Pelicans should do whatever they can to go get Bradley Beal. And I mean specifically Bradley Beal, not a guy like Bradley Beal. I mean specifically Bradley Beal. Now, I say that because he has a rare combination of skills involving shooting, passing, dribbling, ability to play both on and off the ball that I think would be a tremendous fit onto any team. I liken that to Paul George, who you can just slide onto a team and he's going to fit and not cause any problems. And, you know, and Paul's a tremendous defender, so he has that going for him. But in terms of like offensively fitting onto a team, I think Beal is very similar. You can just put him on any team and any team will just work with him on there. And so if they go get a guy like him, one, you know, obviously I think it puts you ahead on the whole train to sign AD thing, in because you just got another star for him. But, you know, in the event that he leaves, if you get a guy like that, if you get Bradley Beal, you have Drew, you have Bradley, plus everything that you give back in return for Davis. Now, I fully anticipate, like Lowe's saying, there's going to be a massive bidding war for Davis just due to the nature of his age and talent and just the positions where teams are going to be. Like Boston, they're looking to be a finals team this year. If they fall short, you can bet they're going to want Davis to push them over the hump. Even if they make the finals, you know, they're going to be going against likely Golden State, which is a tough out for anyone. And again, why would you not want to add Davis to that, right? If you're Philadelphia, are you going to let Boston just trade Anthony Davis into your own division?
Now you're speaking my language. I feel like Philly's not talked about enough in this Anthony Davis business.
I think Philly can offer the best offer hands down out of any team, at least the one that I like the most. I don't know if they will do it because it's a hell of a lot to offer, but I think, you know, first of all, the offer has to be centered around Ben Simmons, who I think I'm higher on than most people. A lot of people are just very turned off about the fact that he doesn't shoot the ball, which I don't see that as a problem given everything else that he does, and you just need to surround him with the right people. And wow, imagine if you had Drew Holiday and Bradley Beal next to him. You're not asking him to shoot the ball, you're asking him to be a downhill player, a facilitator, a rebounder, and defender. And then you got these two dynamic perimeter players who can also facilitate and handle and create their own and run pick and rolls with him, both, you know, as ball handlers and screeners. You just have so much versatility in on the perimeter that like the Pelicans have just flat out never had in their career, in their franchise history, not their career. You know, well, that's right. So if you had a guy like Beal and you got Simmons in a trade, like, good gosh, like that's a fun team to watch. You know, and that team wouldn't be bad at all. I think that team would be a playoff team because you can get bigs. Like let's say you were able to re-sign Nico after that. And you just need to get a big to absorb some center minutes.
And see, that's the thing, because if you're trading for a Beal, what you're basically saying is even if AD leaves, you want to be a playoff team. There is no long term rebuild because you're trading picks to get Bradley Beal.
Right.
Unless you do my out of left field absurd trade idea that I posted earlier today with Bradley Beal, John Wall, and Dwight Howard. And
Marcus Morris, just trade for the whole Wizards team. The whole Wizards team. All of them. Like, we'll give you our roster for your roster and take all your shitty contracts while you're at it.
Unless you do something like that, you're trading multiple picks to get Bradley Beal. So what you're saying is those picks better not be too valuable, or else I get that Beal is arguably worth, you know, an elite draft pick, but that's your bet, is that even if Anthony Davis is gone, you can create a good team, a playoff worthy team with Drew and Beal and whatever else. And so
absolutely. And so kind of going back to Philly's, like, okay, first of all, Simmons would have to be part of the trade. I don't think they're moving Embiid.
Push back on that. What is an Embiid AD front court viable?
Absolutely.
I obviously realize those are two of the best 10 players in basketball, but so you've got Jimmy Butler, Embiid, and AD. And what else are you putting around?
Good luck scoring on that team, first of all. And second of all, I think I haven't looked at Philly's cap. I'm assuming it'll be kind of messed up once they sign Butler and trade for AD. You know, even this year, I think they were under it. They were able to absorb that Wilson Chandler deal pretty easily. I think they'll have, you know, the ability to pay JJ Redick just because they've had him on the team for a couple of years. So they'll have bird rights, early bird rights on him. But, you know, they'll have the ability to pay Redick. They'll have the ability to pay some of the players that are already on their rosters. And they still have a ton of young players. Now, that's why I want to kind of get into what would be involved to make that trade happen, because they have a lot of money coming off the books next year, and they don't have much in the way of small contracts. So I'm thinking, you know, you're going to have to include Simmons, who's going to make about like $8.5 million next year. You're going to have to include Fultz, who's making around $9 million next year. So that puts them almost at 20, right? I think if they include another piece, so like they have, and for young pieces, they have Landry Shamet, who I think they're probably pretty high on and would not want to include.
Zaire Smith's the unknown.
Yeah, Zaire Smith, who's, again, I would take him. You have Korkmaz, and then, you know, you have Jonah Bolden, who I don't think has enough salary to make things work. And then, you know, that's in terms of people who are in contract, like that's about it. So I'm thinking two of Fultz and Simmons, and then they also have the Miami 2020 pick to include. So I think they probably have the cap to just like take AD straight up for Fultz and Simmons. Mm-hmm. And then if they included the Miami 2020 pick, I'd probably be happy with that. I would really push for one of Shamet or Smith. Like mm-hmm. that, especially because if we were in a bidding war with Boston.
So I guess, my question in response to you is if AD said Philly is a team he'd re-sign with, would you even consider Embiid for AD straight up?
Yeah, I'd do it.
Okay. I think because I brought this up a few weeks ago as more of a joke than anything, because I didn't foresee the tailspin that the team would go on. And I know that's not the be-all end-all of the Anthony Davis situation, but now that we're starting to entertain this a little bit more seriously than we were before, maybe. I mean, I think it's also an avenue, and it's kind of why I think Philly in general is not getting enough talk about, as far as the 80 sweepstakes, because they have a few different offers they can make, like you said, that really put them up at the front of the line if they wanted to get them. And if they're trying to keep them, like what if you're Dell Demps and you said, hey, I'm trading to Boston unless you give me X. I mean, what do you do if you're Philly? I mean, if you keep AD away from Boston, you are the team in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's it.
Hands down. I mean, especially, you know, what's going to be interesting is if Kawhi bolts to the Clippers.
So, yeah, Toronto is where I was about to go and say that's still a damn good team. And they can probably sure. – They can probably do things. I don't know when Ibaka comes off the books or a couple of the other bigger contracts, but they can keep that train rolling probably. So
yeah, but if Kawhi bolts, and then or you know, if you have New York who's going to get Durant or some like two other stars, that'll be another team in your division that you have to worry about. Like if you're Philly, like, and you have the opportunity to get Anthony Davis, I feel like if you're any one of those teams, you have to get in on that. Yeah. That's my thoughts, but. You know, I want to change tracks with Philly and talk about Boston for a little bit, because I do think Boston has the ability to make a really strong offer for Davis that just blows. I mean, like, to me, the Lakers offer is by far the worst one.
I agree.
Completely. By far. And the only way that's going to happen is if Rich Paul tells Dell Demps that AD's only going to sign in LA and other teams shy away from the bidding war, mm-hmm. which even then I think Boston's going to bid no matter what.
Yeah, because they'll bank on Kyrie doing enough to keep them.
And Kyrie's one of AD's closest friends, by the way.
Right.
So, I mean, we've seen how that all works out, right? No. But
look at Tim Frazier, case in point.
But yeah, exactly. He's still on the team. he's still in the NBA because of Anthony Davis. But Boston, I think, you know, first of all, I don't entertain any package from Boston that does not include Tatum. You have to include Tatum. And then you're talking about Al Horford or Gordon Hayward. And then I would want them to take back Hill, send up maybe Smart. And then they have a bunch of picks that aren't going to be great. They're going to be like 12 and over. They're going to be like 12, 14, 16, 18, 20.
So let me ask, why is Hill taking Hill's contract that important to you?
It's not. It's just to like make salaries work and us get some better players.
Okay. Because it's not a needle mover for me. Like I said.
But if I can move Hill and get Smart, I would do it. Hands down.
I don't think anything's going to make you smart, but good luck.
But yeah, good one. You know, you are on Twitter and you are you on this podcast.
It's been so long since I made a bad joke like that. I just had to get one in.
But no, I mean, I think you see where I'm going with there. And then again, like if you have Drew already on the team and you get back Tatum, Smart, Horford, whatever, like that's a playoff team already, plus whatever picks you're getting. I think that's a playoff team. Like,
yeah,
you have the makings of a playoff team. And then like on top of that, if you were aggressive this year and already got Bradley Beal, like that's a potentially a great team. You know? Like you're probably not beating the Warriors, but you could definitely be like what the Nuggets are this year, if not better. You could be
third. I thought KD's going to the Knicks.
Right. Well, you know. if KD stays or, yeah. You know, the Warriors of this year, whatever. Yeah. But you could be a third seed. You could be maybe even a two seed. You might be the second best team in the West, depending. He's like, Chris Paul is getting older every single year, and he is not healthy. The Rockets have looked meh, even though they're on a tear right now because James Harden's just been unbelievable. But you know, there's a finite timeline for that, and I think based off what you get back from Boston, you have the ability to A, sustain right now, but also B, wait them out because Tatum's young. Drew's going to be good for a while. Smart's young. And then you have all those picks that either you can utilize to get cheap production out of and then flip later or just flip them, you know, now. And then you could even go the route where you want to flip Horford to a third team for more assets and, you know, another or a lesser player, but that still fits.
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense. I kind of push back a little on how good that team can be, just in the sense that there are some teams that are maybe about to push on to the wrong side of the aging curve, but there are also teams like Denver and the Clippers. I mean, maybe the Clippers less so. They're kind of a mishmash right now, but they've got some.
I think they hinge upon getting a star.
Yeah, that's fair. But even teams like Sacramento and, and Memphis is kind of on both sides of that fence too, because I like Jaren Jackson Jr. a lot, but I mean they've got either really young guys who are studs, or like Conley and Gasol who are about to kind of tip that scale as well. So yeah, I mean I guess there are some serious there are some good arguments to be made that there is the West in the next year or two is going to thin out a little bit maybe, and so could be a good time to really stay competitive rather than to jump back right into a rebuild. So. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's multiple ways to build a team. I would personally prefer, knowing what Anthony Davis can net you in return, I'm using that as collateral for going aggressively after a star this year.
Yeah, and like we mentioned before, I mean, the way this all goes to hell is if AD has a very specific request on where to go. And I really...
Or AD gets hurt and tears his Achilles and tanks his value.
Man, that's a... So, I don't want to talk about player what happens if a player gets hurt, but I don't even know if that's the worst case scenario for the Pelicans. But it's just
yeah, that lets the Pelicans sort of tank for a year, and then you know, AD probably takes a supermax after that. You need to, if that happens, and you know, I guess it's not like the worst thing.
Yeah, but I mean, like just everything I've seen about AD's character, and I don't think he's the guy who's going to say, "Send me here, get that's it." So no, I mean, I think he'll give the team options. I mean, for all the trouble that this Pelicans team has had to put the right people around him, I think that it's been a pretty positive relationship overall. I don't really know if there's been any bad blood between AD and the team. It's been kept in house, and I have no idea that that bad blood exists.
Yeah, I haven't heard a peep. I've heard nothing but praise for Anthony. Yeah.
And so yeah, so I'm not overly concerned that is a realistic scenario where he just pigeonholes the team into trading him to one franchise or just taking a lesser deal from somewhere else, which is, I mean, it's always the tough thing about it is that that's also in the player's best interest too. If he's trying to go to a team that can keep as many assets as possible to be as good as possible, that is in a player's best interest to do that, because
that's why I love Boston and Philly as potential options over someone like Chicago or New York, who I think those guys are realistic suitors. If they secure the first pick, I think Chicago would be more aggressive. I think both those teams have a lot of cap space, and they intrigue me if they get the number one pick, because I'm a big fan of Zion Williamson. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, even if he never turns out to be like 80% of the player Davis is, he'll be extremely entertaining. You know, he has people tuning in to watch Duke games that like have never watched college basketball before. And so if Chicago got the top pick, I think the sell has to be, you know, Davis is coming home. You know, Chicago's over the last 2 years, 3 years has like spent combined like almost $80 million on Jabari Parker and Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
Because they're from Chicago. Like, and you have the opportunity for him to be the homecoming king, and you know, the restoration of the franchise. And I think, you know, if they do a package that's centered around Wendell Carter, that pick, and then like, you know, whatever salary to make it work, so it'd be like Levine or, you know, Dunn and some other pieces, whatever you wanted to get it done. Ha, I didn't mean to make that pun, but you know, whatever you need to make it happen, they can build around Davis and Markkanen, who I think would be a amazing front court to watch.
Yep.
And then they would have a ton of cap space to go get that other star. And I think Chicago would have an allure. I think, you know, it's MJ's legacy. It's a big market. And if you have a guy like Davis coming in town, I think there's more likely for free agents to go there than
He'd have to change his number though.
Yeah, I think he'd be fine with that.
Yeah, and you know that that ownership group is, or they're signing off on that deal instantly.
Yeah, for sure, their reputation has
their reputation has never been lower, and so I at least that's my kind of general sense of what's going on here. But
yeah, for sure. And then I think it also lets AD, like, it's okay, AD's not going to an established team per se. It's a good stuff for him because it's still his own team. And then if he gets another star, like, they're creating their own stuff, their own legacy. Like, everything's more in their control, you know.
Yep.
So that would be the sell. I think that's less likely to happen than any other things, because there's a lot of, you know, Chicago has to get the top pick for them to happen. If they get like the third pick and it's not Zion, I don't care about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then New Orleans don't want Wendell Carter, they want Markkanen, and I mean,
then they want both. It's like you know, it's not. It's got to be the top pick, and I feel that way for New York as well. You know, they could do like Knox, the top pick, and then whatever salary to make it work to put him next to Kristaps, and then
you like Knox that much?
I don't. But what else do they have? Like Ntilikina, who is whatever.
Of Lance Thomas, man.
I mean, he'd probably have to be in there for salary. I mean, I think you'd have to probably include Frank and Knox, and then that top pick.
Yeah, I don't think.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Ugh. Okay, now we're quickly spiraling down a dark path.
No, but the thing is, the point is, like, you know, it's there's hope out there. I think, depending, you know, like if we re-sign Davis, which is my priority number one, like let me get this straight. I am on team keep Anthony. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's plan A through Z. You keep Anthony. You keep that talent. Make him retire here if you can. That's it, you know. But
it should be that simple. It still baffles me that there are other opinions out there. It's like, I get it. It's been a lot. And like I said at the start of the podcast, like I understand the frustration. I feel legitimately bad for the hardcore Pelicans fans who are just tired of this and want to check out. But the goal should be to keep Anthony Davis. I don't care how you feel about his play right now. That's it. Like that's priority number one.
Yeah. So that's my priority number one. And then, and if that happens, great. I'm ecstatic. So like that's hope for me. Right. But if that doesn't happen, I do think, given this unique situation of a superstar entering his prime that's this good and that's going to be this in demand, I think the Pelicans are going to be in a fairly good spot if they have to make the move.
Yep. I've said my piece. I feel very scared about the immediate future of this franchise and just the general – the level of interest broadly if this team has to trade AD pending the return and pending what they do in the next few months. But regardless, I do align with your train of thought that there are plenty of ways that this ends up turning out to be not better off than they were before necessarily, because Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis, but that the franchise does just fine. And the question is, how long does that take for it to happen? I mean, it's the range of outcomes is very, very broad, narrowed somewhat by the fact that Anthony Davis should return an unprecedented haul in a trade, but still there requires some level of competence throughout the entire organization to make it happen. And I'm not saying I don't believe in them. I'm just saying again, there are plenty of outcomes that can happen from this, good and bad.
Yep. Well, I think that should do it for today.
Yep. All right. So for the second straight week, I went into this podcast saying, like, man, doom and gloom, I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about. And while this is a pretty pessimistic topic of trading Anthony Davis, I think it was, I hope the listeners found it insightful, and I actually had a good time thinking about the possibilities.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.